We're doing the Miri Seder Kabbalah, and we had discussed last time that world history is divided into pairs of millenniums. The first 2000, the second 2000, the third 2000. Says the Miri, V'nashuv li'inenenu. Now let's get back to the point. V'ushim kol zeh lo haya inyano shel Avraham Avinu, alav shalom bederech tzivui nevui. V'sheyeh shaluach meit Hashem yitbarach. Avraham walked a unique path. He was not sent by God on a specific path. He didn't walk around and say, God told me to tell you A. God told me to tell you B. He didn't come and say, this is what God said to do. Avraham Avinu was a teacher. Avraham Avinu, as we discussed earlier, was a child prodigy. Avraham Avinu's strength was in his logic and in his capacity to convince other people, to persuade people, to explain to people, to educate people. So obviously he had Ruach HaKodesh, he was on a highly spiritual level, and yet his job in the world was not to give over the word of God. His job in the world was to give over the concept of God, which means to educate, not to give prophecy. So he went to and fro, and he went around speaking about God's Torah, God's way of life, but his point was not, this is what God told you to do, but rather, this is the moral way to live, this is the true way to live. He brought them into the covenant by helping them delve philosophically. He was able to impart his wisdom upon them. He was able to influence them. Chiber Sfarim, he composed works, he composed books. Bevitul Emunotehem Haraot, and in his works he disproved their false beliefs. Uvekiyum Avodat HaElit Varach, and in those works he also validated the service of Hashem. And we saw that Nachmanides, the Ramban, in Torat Hashem Tmima, in his great speech, the Ramban wrote the same concept. He says that when Chazal teaches that Avram wrote a Masechet Avodah Zarah with 400 chapters, it means Avram Avinu wrote a philosophical work against Avodah Zarah that consisted of 400 chapters. V'kvar yadata ha'evdel sheben ha'nevuah uven ruach ha'kodesh, and you already know the difference between nevuah and ruach ha'kodesh, says the Meiri, right? We all know. So the question is, what does he mean? How are we supposed to know? So he obviously explained it in other places. Okay. Sof davar. Itgaber v'nitzeach melachim adirim b'chokhmato. Ultimately, he overcame and he won powerful kings with his wisdom. V'eshiv rov ha'olam le'emunat Hashem yitbarach. The Miri says a fantastic thing. He says, Avram was able to convince most of the world with his great oratory skills. Avram was able to convince most of the world of the belief in Hashem. Ve'lo b'pinot ha'iyuniyot levad kimtziyut Hashem yitbarach ve'achduto ve'istalek kol gashmut mimeno yitbarach. And not only in philosophical concepts that Hashem exists, Hashem is singular, Hashem is not a physical being. It's not that Hashem is that piece of wood or the sun or the moon or anything else. Aval gam al apinot ha-toriyot, he also taught them about the Torah concepts, the concepts of how Hashem wants us to lead our lives. Not just Hashem's existence, but also what does Hashem want from the human being? That's a totally different concept. You know, you could convince people philosophically, he's there, he exists, he created. Oh, that's very nice, but if he doesn't want anything from me, I'm happy. This is what I think Chazal meant when they say Avram kept the Torah, including the rabbinic institution of an Eruv. That's alluding to the light aspect of the prohibitions of Shabbos. Meaning all the concepts that have to do with Shabbos. And Shabbos, as it says in our parasha, in the Seres Adibros, Ten Commandments, Shabbos is connected to the concept that God created the world anew, right? Like the Kuzari writes, the idea of Shabbos is God created the world, right? Look all over the world. Everyone's keeping a seven-day work week. Why? That's one of the proofs for the fact that God created the world. That This is a fundamental point in religion, that God created the world. That point too, Lamadu Masa La'am HaKodesh. He learned and passed over to the people. When Chazal tell us that Avram kept Erev, it means Avram kept Shabbos to the T. It means philosophically, Avram was able to prove the idea of Hashem creating the world down to the most intricate details. רומז על הדבר הקל שבכל איסור תורה, כלומר, שכל העניינים הנמסרים בעניין השבת, שבהם אמונת החידוש. I think that's what he means to say. I think so. וזהו גם כן אצלי, yeah. וזהו גם כן אצלי מה שאמרו זל במקום אחר. This is also what I think Chazal meant in Tractate Yuma, בזה העניין בעצמו. About this itself, קיים אברהם וינו את כל התורה ואפילו ערבי תבשילין. In another place, Chazal say Avram kept the whole Torah, including the rabbinic institution of making an Erev before Yom Tov, when Yom Tov is aligned to Shabbos. So the Jews haven't yet left Egypt, but he's keeping Pesach. The rabbis haven't yet been born, but he's keeping their institution of an Erev Tavshilim. Shehu ha-davar ha-kal shebchol nyanei ha-mo'adot. That's an allusion to the most simplest, the most lenient point of the holidays, romez liot inyan ha-mo'adot nigrar achar munat ha-shabbat. And this is an allusion to the concept that the holidays really go after Shabbos. The holidays, if you look at the Kiddush, the philosophical concepts of the holidays, we also say zecher litzias Mitzrayim. Shavuos. What's Shavuos? Yom HaBikurim. And yet, on Shavuos we say zecher litzias Mitzrayim. What's Erev Tavshilin? Erev Tavshilin is when you have a Shabbos adjacent to a Yom Tov. So when Chazal tell us he kept even Erev Tavshilin, it means he was able to get the philosophical concepts down pat to the point of the most distant point from Shabbos, so to speak, the most lenient point of Yom Tov, where Yom Tov connects to Shabbos. So he was able to grasp the concepts of Shabbos, the philosophical concepts, and the concepts of Yom Tov, down to the points of Yom Tov connecting to Shabbos. They do connect. We see in the Kiddush they connect. No, the Yomim Tovim are not Chukim. V'inyan sh'amo'adot kulam, inyanam sovev al inyan yitziat Mitzrayim. The idea here is, all the holidays revolve around leaving Egypt. Sheba emunat inyanam yamnu pinot atiyot. That when you fulfill the concepts of a Yom Tov, you sit in a sukkah. What are you saying when you sit in the sukkah? You're saying Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and when He took us out of Mitzrayim, He protected us from all four sides. The truth is that the concepts of the holidays really are the fundamental concepts of the faith. What are you doing on Shavuos? You're taking your first fruits, you're bringing it to the temple. You're saying, Hashem controls my parnasa, and I'm responsible to bring that parnasa firstly to Hashem. So the holidays revolve around the basic philosophical concepts of Judaism. And when Chazal say he mastered all the fine points of the holidays, that's Chazal's way of saying he mastered all the fine points of the philosophies of the holidays. Kinyan, gmul, ve'onish, ve'ashgacha, v'shinu etvaim. These points of the holidays really encompass the concept that God pays back and God punishes. That's Pesach, right? He took us out. He dumped them in the sea. Hashgacha, God is watching over what we do. Shinu yatvaim, God controls nature. All of these concepts are really the concepts of the holidays. That's what we're saying in keeping the holidays. Shehakol nimshach achar emunat achidush. All of this comes back to the fundamental concept that God created a new world, which He controls. There isn't nature and then God. No. God created nature and God controls the laws of nature. So here He gives us a whopper of an understanding, and Chazal saying that Avram kept the whole Torah. So he says it means he knew all the philosophical concepts. And he also said a phenomenal chiddush here. He says he got the most of the world to emunat Hashem Yitbarach, to believing that Hashem exists.
What about Pesach, though?
Yeah, you tell me.
Pesach is specific to a certain event happening.
Right, and
how could he possibly have... Saying Pesach is reliant on the fact that we got, you know, we're released.
Right, and Chazal tell us he was eating matzah long before that.
So was he so, like saying, like, I know, Hashem told him, your children are going to be released. Was he like celebrating preemptively?
According to the Meiri, we wouldn't say that. You know, before we read the Meiri, we could say a lot of things. On a Kabbalistic level, we could say a lot of things. But learning the Meiri, we now understand the Meiri's explanation that every holiday has the basic philosophical concepts of Judaism that that holiday corresponds to. And those concepts are really within the idea of the Jews leaving Egypt. Leaving Egypt showed God controlled the world, God's watching what's going on here, God punishes those that do evil, God rewards those that do right. All of that is exemplified by the Exodus from Egypt, or
so
proved by.
Time,
so, I don't know if the Meiri is coming to the exclusion of the simple understanding, meaning the simple understanding is he kept the holidays. The Meiri is saying it means he had the philosophical concepts behind the holidays. Now, back to what it says. Is the Meiri saying, but it does not mean the simple literal meaning? Avraham really did not eat matzah on Pesach? Or is the Meiri saying this plus that? I'm not sure how to understand the Meiri. I see over here in the footnote they mention something which I was contemplating, but I find it hard to say it that that's what the Meiri meant. They say maybe it means that over time, Avraham Avinu and his path led the world to monotheism. Led the majority of the world to monotheism. That's what we'd like to say the Meiri meant, because otherwise we don't understand how the Meiri could say that. You know, so then how'd the world change by the time the Jews left Egypt?
Like
the Egyptians are pagans. The Canaanites are pagans. We don't find monotheists in the world. So how'd the world waver back and forth? Unless you say, and that's what some of the commentaries say, not here but in other places, that the world didn't stick to it. It was very easy to sway away from it, just as the world had swayed away from it. That's why we also don't find any record of all of Avram's converts. What happened to them? We know there were other converts. Where'd they all go? So some commentaries suggest that it didn't last. You know, that was the strength of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, that they could each rediscover God and go with it and believe in it. And the other converts, the second generation, didn't go with it. There are commentaries that suggest that. And then maybe that's what the Meiri would also say, that in Avram's day and age, he was tops. And the truth is that there is a source for what the Meiri is saying in Chazal. Chazal say, El Emek Shaveh, that after the war against the four kings, Avram came to Emek Shaveh, the flat plain where everyone was equated. Chazal say, all the nations united and said, Avram should be head of the UN, king of the world. Everyone said, everyone agreed. Avram's tops. Now, it could be that the Meiri is going to learn that what that means is that all the nations of the world realized if Avram could take on the most powerful kingdoms, and he just defeated Nimrod, his arch nemesis for almost a century, the world came to a realization that there is a God out there, and it's not what we've been thinking, and maybe they didn't chuck their Avodah Zarah in the garbage, but they definitely recognized the validity of Avram's monotheism. Maybe that's what the Meiri means, and there is, again, there is support for that in Chazal. Chazal do say the world that the world appointed him as leader.
Doesn't he also seem to... Learned about what he said previously, that till Avram, every one of the, let's say, from Enosh to Raphael, all the different Mishela, right? They had the Kutza, they had the group. It wasn't that they were themselves, they were individuals. They had their own group. It was just, it wasn't so large. It had a lot of proliferate, so it makes sense.
Yeah. Going to the Meiri, yeah. Okay.